Last night, Bishop Stacy, right? I want to call him Curtis because I want to call him Stacy Curtis, but it's Curtis Stacy. But anyway, y'all supposed to laugh at something. Anyway. So, last night, sitting back there, you know, he's jamming. He's doing his thing. I was like, man, this guy's good. He, you know, we talked a little bit after, and he sort of grew up the same way I did with Pentecostal and always being taught that we couldn't do things but never telling us how God operated. It was a denominational thing of, you know, you can't do this. And so we got to know each other a little better. And let me just pause right here because I want to pray. I want everyone to close their eyes, and I want you to focus on Christ right now. Don't focus on me. Don't focus about any other person in here or the person that's not in here. I want you to focus on Christ and the words that are fixing to come forth. Father, it is all about you. It is all about you in our lives and in our marriages. God, I pray that you take the next few minutes that I have, Father, that you have given me, and the words that I speak, God, Lord, will penetrate the hearts. Lord, it's not for the accolades or the praise, but it's all about you. It's all about you, Father. It's all about listening to your Spirit and making our marriages stronger so that we can grow the kingdom. So people can see that we are just not married couples. Father, you said that when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. And I pray, Lord, that you take the next few minutes and you just wreck us. You destroy our mentality of the things that we think of marriage should be. And you give us a new outlook, a new direction. In Jesus' holy name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, the last time I was here, that's why it is empty. They heard I was coming, and they were like, heck no, we're not sitting there for 2.5 hours. So that's why nobody showed up today. I apologize, Pastor. But last night, let me get back to my story. Last night, and he's just hammering, and he's going. And then all of a sudden, he gets this strange idea that he wants to talk about Adam. And I was like, whoa, cat, you need to slow your roll. That's my sermon you preaching up there. So he's talking about Adam and Eve and how, you know, Adam gave over his authority. And I was like, I looked at Melanie, I was like, what is he doing? What am I going to be able to talk about in the morning? I said, we've got to go back to the hotel. I got to find something else to talk about. And she said, somebody else might need the same thing. And I was like, no. The bottom line is, he's taken what I've studied for 4 months. And he's running with it. And people are liking it. Now I'm just going to be a copycat. I was like, uh-uh. So I start praying. God, you keep his mouth shut. Don't let him hit the main points. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, he went to another direction. I was like, yes, it worked. Then he come back, and I was like, God, what are you doing? You're killing me. And it happens every time. Every time I study for something, God's like, okay, I got your number. Now let's see if you really listen. You want to say you're listening? Let's see you're listening. But he didn't change it this time. So we're going to go to Genesis chapter 1. And I know that a lot of you guys didn't bring your Bibles because it's a marriage retreat. And you thought you were going to get this some great doctor that's going to tell you how to fix your marriage. Wrong. Which I, hold on, let me rephrase that. I heard that, Holy Spirit. You do have a great doctor, and he's called the great physician. And he can fix anything that a medical doctor can't fix. Amen? He can heal you. He can heal your knees. He can heal the emotional trauma that you've been through. That you've been through before your marriage. And he can fix the trauma in your lives that is holding your marriage down now from past. All right? Don't throw stones, but this is a marriage conference, so I'm going to be real. And my wife's already told me, don't you get up there and don't you embarrass me. So I'm not. This is about me. I've been married before, and I've raised in the church, and that was a no-no. That, I mean, you committed the greatest sin of all sins because you've been married before, and there's no way that you can be called to preach if you've been married before. These are the things that my denomination told me, and I'm sorry, but you can't hold a leadership role, and you can't hold a church because of you being married before. And so, being me and the way that I operate, I wrote the nice little letter back to him. And I said, so if I killed someone and went to prison and got out of prison and got reformed, then I could be a pastor of a church. Is that what you're trying to say? And or if I went and raped someone and killed someone, that I could be a pastor of a church. Or if I wanted to dabble in pornography, or if I wanted to do this and this. See, I was being smart, and that's just me. I hate rejection, especially when I know that the Spirit of God has called me. And I don't think that if you've been married once or if you've been married five times, if God's grace has covered you, you are covered. And there is no man on this earth that can pass judgment on you. The Spirit of God has called you. Now, I'm not telling you now, and you know right from wrong, but I was 18 years old when I got married. My son is 20, and we were talking about this last night, of I can't even fathom him getting married. And he's 20. He's 2 years older than what I was when I got married. And I'm like, these are babies, you know? I used to think my dad had no clue what he was talking about. He was clueless in this world. But now that I've got old, I'm like, that was a wise man, you know? Because we weren't even close to living at 18 years old. You know, we just thought we had it all together, and you know, we were in love. And I told him one day, I said, buddy, let me tell you, love is when you can hold your wife's leg when she's giving birth to your baby and throwing up in a bucket and rubbing her hair. I said, that's what love. I said, it's not, oh, I love her. I can't live without her. Oh, I said, buddy, that's not love. I said, love is when you've been through the fire and you come out and you're still together. That's what love is. So I'm going to name a couple of names, and I need, this is the interaction part. If I called out a cartoon character, Tom, what would be the next?
Jerry.
That's right. That's right. Hey, that's pretty good. Let's see. Ken.
Barbie.
Hmm. Lucille Ball. Ricky. All right. All these names, I'm glad there's not really a lot of young couples here because they probably wouldn't know all this. But, you know, I was thinking about the title, you know, Forever Together. And so I had it confused the whole 4 months. I've been saying together forever, together forever, together forever. And I was like, hold up, it's forever together. I was like, what am I going to talk about forever together about? And so then I started placing all these names together. And I was like, every time you call one of these names, the other one automatically picks up in your brain. And I'm like, So, I'm thinking about Gilligan. There's an island. Gilligan Island. You know? Mr. Ed. I'm telling my age now. The horse. All right? Horse, of course. All right? All these, they come back to our memory because it's automatic. All right? Adam. Exactly. Adam and Eve. And this is where we're going to pick up. In Genesis chapter 1, it in the verse, the first key point, if you're taking notes, is guard your relationship with God. In Genesis chapter 1, and the Bible tells us that in the cool of the day, that God would come and he would visit with them. So, they had a relationship with God. They were meeting with God. In the cool of the day, I'm thinking the cool of the day, it's in the morning time. It's in the morning time. When you first wake up and you have that freshness and you say, God, I thank you for allowing me. I was telling someone the other night, or I think it was last night, I think I told this story a couple of other times to I was sitting in my deer stand a couple of days ago. And I got in there about 5 o'clock. Well, it don't get daylight till almost 7. Well, I'm sitting there, and a thunderstorm comes up. I mean, it was bad. And I was like, I'm sitting on this metal stand, and I'm saying, this is probably not the smartest idea that I've ever come up with. And I was like, but I'm not getting out. It took too much work to get here. I'm not getting out. So I'm sitting there, and it is raining and it is lightning. So I just pull myself down into a little ball, and I just start praying. And I just start thanking God for the rain and for the lightning, that it might not hit me. And I started praying for my wife. In her classroom, and my boys. And I got this sense of how Adam and Eve visited, how God would come and walk and begin to communicate. Because that's how they were made to communicate with the Father, to have relationships. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm just soaking wet. But it didn't matter because I was in a different dimension. I wasn't even deer hunting, which is starting to get daylight now. And I'm just communicating with God, and I'm listening, and I'm hearing the words that he's speaking to me about my family. How he gave me a word for my wife. Some things that he told me that I've been lacking. I've been struggling. These are the things about guarding your relationship with God. See, Adam, he didn't guard his relationship with God. He lost focus. Sometimes we want to talk. It's like I said at the beginning. We want to talk more than we want to listen. And then sometimes we want to listen and we expect God to talk, but He's waiting for you to talk so that He can answer. And if you never have a relationship with God and you're never meeting with God and you're never meeting Him in the presence and saying, God, it's all about You. It's not about me. Show me, direct me, lead me, guide me. I want to do Your will. He's never going to give you a response if you're never doing that. So Adam lost focus. He handed over his authority. Number two, if you're taking notes, guard your authority. Genesis 1:28 says that God blessed them and He told them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over it. Sorry, guys. Allergies and snot and crying and tears just don't mix. Subdue it. He gave authority. From the very day He gave authority over the earth to mankind, to Adam, which is our lineage through Jesus Christ. He told us to subdue it. To subdue the earth. The Hebrew word for subdue is kibosh. And that means to bring into bondage. Subdue it. Bondage. That means I got you. I got control of you. You're not going to control me. I'm going to control you. Now, this is the marriage part. Men, I don't give you the privilege to say, I'm going to control you, woman. I got you. I'm going to subdue you. It's about saying, I got you, but we're going to work together. We're walking side by side forever together. The second word was dominion. The Hebrew word for that is menshalah. I want to say mother-in-law. Because it seems like your mother-in-law has a lot to do with your together forever. Or your not so together forever. Amen? But the menshalah, it means ruler or governor or rule over. And it's funny how when we lose our authority in Christ, that we lose our authority in Christ, then we lose our authority as men of our household. Because when you lose a relationship with Christ, you lose all power that Christ has given you. Does that make sense? Because you know what? You don't have a relationship with Christ anymore. So Christ ain't pouring into you because you're not talking to Him because you quit communicating with Him. So how can you communicate with someone if someone else is not communicating with you? Key point. You have to communicate with Christ if you want a godly marriage and you want it to last forever together. It's imperative to have it. A lot of times, Melanie gets on to me because I am a creature of habit, and I'm very inward. If I get mad, I don't have to talk. I can go for days without talking. and I'll sit in my recliner. And I'll go, what you want for supper? I don't care. And she'll say, what I want her to do is I want her to communicate with me, but I want it on my terms. I want to subdue her. I want to have dominion over her. Because, believe it or not, we're selfish. We've taken on a selfish mentality in the church. I know that hurts some of you religious folks. I apologize. But we have. We've become so selfish that if the air is not right, or the seats are not right, or someone sat in my seat, or they didn't play my song, or whatever. Quit being selfish. It's like when we were growing up as kids, I have a younger brother and an older sister. Well, my sister, she was the first girl, so she was daddy's girl. All right? My brother was the baby, so that was mama's baby. I'm chopped liver. You know? It doesn't matter. Whatever happened, it wasn't her fault because she's a girl. Oh, it wasn't his fault because he's the baby. Guess who got the spanking? But we were taught, quit being selfish, share. And so we've taken that as a, in our life, and we've grown up with it and saying, it's all about me now. And that's what the world is trying to tell you. That you have TV shows, you have advertisement, all about me. If you want to have a new car, go buy you one. Don't worry about the payments until they come and get it. It's all about me. All about the way that I look. You know, it's funny how we look at stuff and the subliminal messaging that they put. You know, I hate going to movie theater. I hate it. I'd rather wait for it to come out. I can fast forward or I can stop it if I don't like it. But once you pay that $7.50, it might be more than that. I haven't been in a while. But how much? $12? Oh, no, I definitely won't be going. But once you pay that money, I mean, psh, they got you. And then you walk in, and your wife says, oh, can we get a bag of popcorn? We just spit. Okay. And then the boy is like, hey, can I have a drink? Yeah, go ahead and order one. I want the large. That's $20 for a large. So time you walk out of there, you done spent $70 on a bag of popcorn. The movie that you didn't really even like. Bottom line is, we're selfish. Burger King, they got it right when we were growing up. Have it your way. That's what we say about the church now. Come on in. We got pastors up there that are pulpiteers. Come on in. Have it your way. Oh, you like? Oh, you want a kids program? Oh, we got one for you. Here you go. You want a youth program? Hey, we got one for you. Here you go. What happened to coming in, falling on your face before God and say, I am a sinner. Please help me. And we're all selfish about our marriages. The Word of God don't say it. I have searched it. It don't say it in verse 1, 2, or 3 when God created the heavens and the earth. And it was without form. And it was without any kind of anything. God, He spoke it and it became. And He said, this is good. And so the next day came when He created this. And He said, you know what? This is good. The next day came. all on up to the day that he created Adam and Eve. And he said, this is good. And he said, man should not live alone. And he created this woman. And so when God woke him up, he said, whoa, man. Man, is Robin the only one that got it? Man, y'all are like, I'm about ready to say jump up and do a James dance. Man, y'all are just like, am I that bored? All right. But I'm just going to call it like I see it. And God can spank me when I get to heaven, or Adam can kick my tail when I get there, you know, whatever. But Adam was selfish. Eve was selfish. So I'm going to go, and I don't know how I missed number three and number, hold on, let's go back to my original scrap notes. I rewrote these this morning, so I know I got the real ones right here. Number two. Oh. And after we guard our authority, we've got to guard our routines. All right? When we read the Word of God, we say Genesis 1 through 3. And we think that happened to day 1 through 6. We know that. And on the seventh day, he rested, right? Everybody say amen. Amen. Y'all read Genesis, right? If you hadn't, it's the first book. Start. Yeah. You know, when I was a kid, you start saying, in the beginning, and then you go, you go to sleep. So, and then you would skip that because you would hear it all through Sunday school. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth, and it was out form and out business, and you go, all right? But you know what? I've been in church since I was 3 years old. And God showed me something. And I was telling Melanie, and she goes, oh, yeah, I've known that. I was like, don't blow up my, I just saw this, so don't, mm-mm. I don't care if God showed you that 20 years ago. He just showed it to me. So I want to share. She goes, oh, I already know that. I was like, well, I'm sorry, I'm ADHD and didn't catch on 20 years ago. But we guard our routines. And so we think that after day 7, that the next day the serpent comes and beguiles. I think that's the word that the Old Testament, the old King James Version uses, beguiled. I say tricked. That's just me. Into eating the fruit. And that's the way I used to read it, is I thought it happened the day after, you know, right after each other. And so I'm thinking, okay. And then I'm reading this and preparing, and I'm looking up the Hebrew words, and, you know, because I really, that's something that God, I really feel like that as pastors and leaders, we need our very best to give God. And if we're not studying to show ourselves approved, we're not doing you guys any justice. Because all we're doing is speaking our theory and not the Word of God. So I'm looking up these words, and half of them, I'm telling you, I'm not educated. I don't have a college degree. I went to the College of Hard Knocks, and I promise you, I graduated there twice. And so half these words I can't even say. I just say yabba 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 or yabba dabba doo, and you know, when I'm reading them, and I'm like, wow, that's pretty awesome. If you've never looked up, I mean, dude, it's not like the old time where you have to find this little bitty number over here, and then you have to... Siri, will you look up? That's all you got to do. And if she don't recognize your voice, like most of the time she don't me, I do not understand. You want to throw this phone across the room and say, I don't pay $100 for you not to understand me. Find me this. But I challenge you, if you are reading, look it up in the Hebrew. Look it up in the Greek. Study. Study to show thyself approved. When you were dating your wife, Pastor, you studied her. You studied the way that she combed her hair. You studied what she wore. That's the way we need to do Christ. That's the way we need to do our marriages now. It's just because you've been married for 11, 10, 4, 3, 2, don't allow yourself to get into a habit. What happens is we get in that habit, and like Eve did, she went to the same place day after day. And so the Bible don't say that she did that. But how do you think the serpent beguiled her or tricked her? He watched her. The Bible says that the serpent, let me see, I think I wrote that down. That the serpent, was more cunning and more, that's what the Greek word said, more cunning and more deceitful than any other creature. So he studied her. He knew where she went. He knew what she did. And good old Adam, guess what? He was relaxing in his leaf chair. I'm going to go pick some fruit for us. Yeah, honey, go ahead. Whatever. Do what y'all think. I'm going to sit right here. And I'll watch the monkeys play. Instead of taking authority and going with his wife, we get in that habit of doing things day after day, day after day, day after day, work, life. And we get trapped. And so we leave our marriages to just run on cruise control. Well, guess what? If you don't have Christ as the center, there is no pilot. And eventually you're going to crash. And guess what? Adam and Eve crashed. Because Adam gave up his authority to a serpent. First of all, and the thing was, if you read your Bible, the first commandment ever, not the Ten Commandments, ever. Read your Bible if you think I'm lying, because I saw it and I researched it. The first thing God ever spoke to man was he told Adam before he even created Eve was, do not eat of that tree. And so how did Eve know about the tree? I didn't see where God even spoke it to him again. So, she got the information from her husband or from Adam. Okay? He told her when he He said, "Whoa, man. Y'all killing me." It's a good thing I'm not getting paid for this. So he spoke that to her and said, "Hey, you can cook me anything you want, homegirl. Just don't touch that tree." "Okay, baby." Well, he lays in his little lippy chair. She goes to the fruit tree, and she's picking. And I don't know if Satan was walking, or the serpent was walking at the time. I've done some research. I want to believe, but y'all can read it for yourself and come to your own conclusion. But I think, me personally, what I read, which I told you, I'm not educated, so I mean, this is just my mind. It could be playing tricks on me. But I think the serpent walked. And I think he walked up and he was having a conversation. We heard Bishop last night talking about how the woman could talk to the animals. And I believe he was having a conversation. And so he didn't trick her that first day. Let me tell you something, men, women, you don't go having an affair on the first day. It takes time. You don't walk and get out of your bed and say, "Whoop, oh, I had an affair, I'm sorry, it just happened today." No. It's progressive. It starts meeting at the water fountain. "Hey, babe, you sure do look good today." Because you know what? If your wife ain't telling you that, or you're not telling your wife that every day, someone will. Someone's out there studying your wife and studying the way that she combs her hair. And if you hadn't noticed that she got a haircut, oh my goodness. Or she changed her hair. I can tell you right now. She can tell you. She changed her hair. We've been married 11 years. She changed her hair one time. And I told her, I said, "I ain't being ugly. I don't like it. Change it back." And she said, "You really don't like it?" I said, "Nope, I can't find you." She said, "You can't find me." I said, "Nope." I said, "We went to the mall, and I looked for 20 minutes, and she's standing right beside me." "I don't like it. Change it back." She goes, "Well, what if I told you I didn't like yours?" She goes, "Oh, never mind." I said, "That's not even funny." But we get in our habits, and so we do things, and so we're focusing on our habits, but guess what? Satan is focusing on us, and he is wanting to destroy your marriage. He's wanting to destroy the headship. Because if he can destroy mama and daddy, guess what the kids see? Conflict. They see destruction. I was fortunate. My mom and dad are still married. They're married. They'll be married 51 years. No, they just celebrated October 10th, 51 years. So I've been very fortunate to see a marriage from my mom and dad that has lasted. They met on a Friday night, and 2 weeks later they married on a Friday night. And they've stand together. The thing is some of the things that they went through and the denomination that we were in, things got twisted. In relationship of how to show emotions, I'm very emotional type of guy. My dad is too. We're very tender-hearted. We can see somebody cry and we're going to cry. I begged God and I did that and then I couldn't cry and then I begged him again and now all I do is snot and cry. So, you know, I don't know what's going on with my body, but, you know, I just try to be obedient, you know, and people just have to, you know, if you're really sick to your stomach, don't sit up front, you know, sit in the back. You know, it's not as bad back there as, you know, me. But things were twisted because of the denomination we were in. And so they didn't show what real love is. They loved each other and they loved us and they did the best they could for us and provided for us. And God did miracles because they raised me in a godly home. But it was twisted. You know, it was twisted. It was a denominational twist, not a godly twist. So, I mean, we wasn't handling snakes or, you know, nothing like that. But when you get in the habit of doing certain things as a couple, you just get to the point where you just say, I'm going to let him do what he wants to. Or I'm going to let her do what she wants to. And all of the time, the Holy Spirit is going, stop. Don't do it. Engage. But we don't hear it because we've disengaged from the Holy Spirit. I can promise you, and this is probably a bold statement, but I can take any one of your marriages and asked you if you pray on a regular basis how your marriage is. I told y'all from the beginning, if you're not in relationship with Christ, Christ cannot be the headship. He cannot allow the working of His power and the hedge around you to operate if He is not Lord and Savior of your life. So that means that when you and your wife or your spouse, you're in battle with each other constantly. Even though you might not be angry and speaking and yelling and screaming, you are constantly warring against each other. Because Eve stepped in to a wrong rim that she was not qualified to carry. And Adam stepped out of the rim that he was created to carry. As husbands, if we disengage from our families, disengage from our wife, disengage from our kids, we step out of a realm of authority. And we give permission for someone else to step in. When you step out of the leadership skills and what you've been called to do as a husband, the Bible tells us that when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. Don't give your authority up, man. Don't give your authority up to some Joe Blow at the water fountain. Because you're too selfish to tell your wife that you love her and that you care about her and that you want the best for her. That you don't want her hurting. That you don't want her struggling. That you don't want her to be depressed about the money or depressed about working. It's our responsibility. I know that I could probably bring Melanie up here and she can address the women, but me right now, this is the guys. This is where we man up. We hear T.D. Jakes talk about the man up conference all the time. Dudes, I'm telling you, man up now. You want to see this nation change? Man up. We want the women to pray and seek God. It's not their responsibility. It's the man of the house to cover. There is no reason why this house should not be packed. Why? And I'm not browbeating you guys because y'all are here. And I applaud you guys for taking the responsibility and say, you know what? I want more for my marriage. I'm going to be here when college football is going on. I'm going to be here when there's deer hunting. I told one guy the other day, I was like, I'm going to have to call Pastor. It's opening day of gun season. And I'm supposed to speak. Oh, no. Negative. Sorry, can't make it. But the time that you invest in your marriage, God will reward you because He's saying you've humbled yourself. You've got in the presence of the headship, which is God. You've lined up with the authority of what God has called you to do. Your wife falls under the leadership. Well, let's put it here because they're no longer under us. Understand that. They are no longer under us. They are beside us. They came from a rib. Check your ribs. You're missing one. Guess what? Poke her. She got it. So she's beside you. She's walking with you through this journey. Quit making her think that she's crap and under your feet. I know I should. I'm going to say it anyway. Oh, she is not crap. She is not something that you wipe off your shoe because you stepped in something. The Bible said when you find a wife, you find a good thing. How many times have I said it now? Three. You found a good thing. You found a good thing. You found a good thing. Jamie, a good thing. A good thing. A good thing, a good thing, a good thing, a good thing. I know your wife's not here. Good thing. A good thing. Pastor B, good thing. And I can tell you, I've got the best thing. Because without her, I would be crap. Bottom line. When I can't pray, that woman lifts me up. When I'm sick, she brings me soup and asks me if I took medicine. She knows I hate taking medicine. I was like, no, I didn't take it. Well, you're not going to get better without it. You just watch and see. 2 weeks later, I'm still sick. I told you to take that. Hush. I know you were right. But when we get in our habits, Satan begins to look at Adam and Eve, and he's like, I got her number now. I know what to do. He's like, did God really say that you couldn't eat that? Let's put it in today's society. You know, so-and-so said, you traveled a lot. You know, Janelle, she won't ever know. I'll meet you at the bar. She won't never know you're out of town. Just hook. Come on, we'll do the hookup. And if you haven't hooked up with your wife, someone else will hook up. Wife, if you hadn't hooked up with your man, the one that sought after you, the one that findeth you. I know that's not a word, but anyway, it's my word. You know? The one that sat back and said, she showed those, she cooked those fries very good at McDonald's. I was going to say something else, but no, I think I will. I sure do like some shape with that fry. But Satan comes in and he tricks us. If we're not in right relationship with Christ, if we're not guarding our garden, it's our garden. Adam, he let someone else come in and take control of his garden. Satan came in. She told, he'd been having a relationship with her. He met her at the same spot every day. She was going to get some fruit for Adam, who's laying in his leafy chair. So she's been telling him, hey, will you come and help me do this? Do I have to? I really don't want to go to that marriage conference. Do we have to? I mean, we got a good marriage. Why do we need to go to a marriage conference? I like the way we are. You do your thing, I do my thing. And so she just kept on. I really need your help. I need you to wash the dishes. I need you to help me wash some clothes. I need you to help me get the kids off to school, pack their lunch. I just need some help. Shame on us if we don't stand up and help our wives. And baby, I'm telling you right now, you want to talk about, this is my mother-in-law. She must have heard me say baby. Because she knows I love her baby. And, but if we're not stepping up and helping our wives, it's on us because we're not taking the authority. Nah, I'm not telling you every day, hey, I'm the authority, I'm going to wash these dishes. But you want to, let me tell you how a woman works. And then I'm going to tell you how a man works. A woman, you get up in the morning, plugged in that crock pot. Ch-ch-ch. Baby, you sure do look good this morning. You walk off. Oh, is that my mother-in-law calling you too? And so, you, right before she walks out, you kiss her. Oh, baby, you sure do smell good. Well, I don't know about y'all's crock pot, but my crock pot, it takes about 8 hours to cook something. You put some roast and potatoes in there, you might get it by 9 o'clock that night. Because it's just a slow cooker. Slow. Well, I ain't going to get too graphic, but I'm saying, if you turn on that cooker in the morning time, baby, time you get home, those potatoes and carrots, they all nice and ready. And I'll just leave it at that. Now, man, we like a microwave. You just open the door, you push 1 second, bing, we ready. Instant. You can cook grits very fast. So I'm saying that men and women were different, but we're the same. And if we give our authority away, and we give our authority away in the garden, men, other people are going to come in. And baby, they're going to trim the bushes. And they're going to trim the trees. Adam fell that day. Eve finally got him to go. And so they walk over, and guess who's waiting there? Mr. Serpent with his nice outfit, snake shoes. Johnny looked good. And he's talking. But guess what Adam did? Remember the illustration? Instead of turning to his wife, he turned his back and he ignored what was going on. And the serpent beguiled her. And she ate of the tree. It don't say fruit, it said the tree. And she turned and gave it to her husband. She stepped into a role that she was not qualified to carry. He stepped out of a role. And Satan stepped into another role. And it's funny when we holy cow, I got 8 minutes. I told you I'm long-winded. Golly. It's funny when Adam got caught. First thing he said was, God, it's the woman that you gave me. He tried to blame God. Read your Bible. That's what it said. He said, it's the woman that thou wast saying that you gave me. Then that didn't work. God was like, oh, no, homie. Then he tried to blame Eve. She gave me the fruit. She gave me the tree. Not the whole tree, but. And then Eve turned around and said, it was the serpent who beguiled me. You see how it's flowing? And now it's a landslide. It's out of control. And you don't know how to stop it. And so you're thinking you're coming into this marriage conference. You think you got it all together. And you think you're just going to come in here and you're going to play house. And you're going to sit here in the sanctuary and you're going to let everybody say, hey, we got a good marriage because we went to a marriage conference. Telling you, God is wanting men to step up. He's wanting ladies to allow their husbands to take the role of authority in their household. But he can't do it like I do it. Let him do it. You'll be surprised. I remember when we first got married, my wife handled the finances. And I would always fuss about the money. Why don't we have no money? Well, we paid this. And it was stressful for her. But you know what? I didn't care because I was selfish. It's not my problem. I don't have to keep up with a checkbook. I put my money in. She takes my money out. And I don't have to worry about the heartache of balancing the checkbook. So one day, guess what? We go to financial peace. Can't stand that, man. You got to quit doing this. You got to cut this up. And she comes home. This is a checkbook. It's yours. She walks off. Oh, no. But you know what? She gave me that responsibility, and it taught me to be the man of my house. Sometimes she'll ask, but she never has to worry about if there's money in that account. Most of the time, she don't know the balance. She'll have to ask me, do we have money? Oh, yes, we do. Go ahead. Do you know what kind of relief and the stress have been taken off of her? Because I manned up. It's a checkbook. Yay! Woohoo! I get the brownie points for today. But you know what? I got brownie points for life for taking that off of her. Men, let's stand. I got 4 minutes. Oh, I've done it this time. Bradley, I've done it, buddy. Man, God has called each one of you. Josh, stand up, buddy, because you one day you're going to be. Josh, you're going to be more prepared. The Spirit of God said that because of all the things that you've given up, and every time that you've given up something to be here, to run that, that He's depositing little things in your heart and in your mind and in your spirit is all coming together to make a whole package. I remember me and you talked one time about baseball, and I told you it's in the off season that makes the ball player. It's not at the home when you got the bat and you're at the plate and you're ready to knock the home run and win the game. It's the off season. Josh, this is your off season. Whether you want to be here or not, everything that you're hearing is being deposited in your spirit. And God said that He is making a man. He's making a man of great valor. A man that is not ashamed to stand up. And that is going to know how to treat his wife. Because his dad has modeled that for you. Other men that have surrounded you are modeling that representation. But because of your willingness, God said favor. You can walk in talent all you want to. You can walk in technique all you want to, but you cannot walk in favor when you want to. And favor is better than technique any day. And God said, favor on your life. Favor. Favor when everybody else is getting hurt.
favor is going to keep you whole. I see the Spirit of God just, Pastor, I see He's doing mighty, mighty, mighty work right here. And I know you're just thinking, man, I just want to get home with this dude. Please shut up so we can watch the Ohio game. You know why Urban Meyer has got why he's got? Favor. Even though my Bulldogs lose, and they probably lose again today. But Mark Richt, favor. Because they've learned to put Christ first. Favor, Josh. You keep humble. You keep the man that God is creating right now. Favor. Favor. You walk in the market. You hear the scriptures that say, I'll be blessed in the marketplace. Favor, Josh. When everything else is falling apart, favor, Josh. When school grades are going all out of whack, favor, Josh. When teachers are giving other people hard times for not doing what you've already done, favor, Josh. Favor with your other athletes in your school. You are not a follower. God said you will lead and direct. You will have favor and other people will follow you. Stand still, watch the salvation of God move, and He will show you the right direction, the right college, the right pro team. Favor. Can we give God praise? Sorry about that, guys. Oh, I missed it. 2 minutes over. Guys, God is doing something in us. He is raising us up to have the authority that was taken from us and from Adam. Thank God that they had a backup plan and that Jesus Christ came and He gave His life. And He stretched His hands wide open. And He took the nails for us. And when He did that, you know what He was saying? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I just heard the Holy Spirit. You know why He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? Because they were walking and they were operating in a realm that they was not placed in. They lost the authority. So they were doing what someone else told them to do. But when God died and He rose on the third day, He took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. And He gave us back our authority. Authorities that we may tread on serpents. That we can cast out demons in His name. That we can speak into our households when things are not going right and say, I, as the authority of this house, and with the authority of Jesus Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, I command this crap to stop. In Jesus' name. And it's got to. But if you don't have relationship with God, don't try that. You'll be coming back naked. They done beat you off your clothes. Wives, stand up, grab your husband's hands. Wives, I want you to look at your helpmate. I know Adam wants to be here. And the sacrifices that y'all have made as a couple is not falling on deaf ears because of him not being here, because you can relay. Adam's probably the most balanced guy I know, just by what I've seen from him when we come down here. I've never seen him any different towards me or anyone else. But there's been sacrifices that you've made for him to fulfill the dream that he had to be an officer. God's honoring some things that only you and Adam know. And he said, it's in the works to stay patient. Keep doing what you're doing, being faithful. And God said that he will give the increase. But you've been faithful. You were faithful the Sunday I spoke 3 hours with those little kids. You were faithful. You're faithful to the kingdom. You're faithful to your marriage. Adam's faithful to his God. And God said he will be faithful to you. You're hard to figure out sometimes. You try to keep everything bottled up. It might be your background. I don't know. But there's a pecking. There's a pecking. And there's a breaking. Let it break. Things, I heard you, Spirit. There's things in the past that you've kept everything in. You're like this person in a straitjacket. You're like, it's my stuff and I'm keeping it and nobody's going to ever know about it because it's none of their business. You got to open your hand and you got to let it go. Because God is doing something in you and Adam that is going to be tremendous. And when people see you, they're going to see a couple that is highly measured, highly favored. And they're going to say, how did they? He's just a police officer. I keep hearing finances. I don't know. I don't know your finances. But I keep hearing finances and increase. Open up your hands. Release it to the Spirit. Open up your heart. And say, God, it's yours. I'm not trying to hold on to it anymore. All the hurt from my past, all the hurt that I grew up with, it's all yours. And I'm sure Adam knows everything about you. But if he don't, you need to let him have that opportunity for you to open up and let God do this. Because he's got you. He's got you. Do you know how it feels? If I stood up here and I had two men stand right here and I fell backwards. Now it would depend on the two men that was standing here. But to fall back, I know they got me. That's what God's saying. Just fall back. I've got you. I've got you, my faithful servant. There's anointing on you. There's an anointing on you and your family. Quit doubting. Quit trying to figure out how it's going to happen. Just walk in it. Just walk in it. And accept it. My biggest key to me speaking is know that I've just got to walk in it. I've just got to do this. And I've got to trust God that he's going to give me the words to say. Because if he didn't, me and you'd be doing this. How you doing? You know? But that's what God's wanting. He's wanting this for every one of our marriages. For your marriage. He's wanting this. He's wanting you to say, I'm going to be the head of my house. I'm going to take authority over situations in our life that I've allowed you to carry. And you can do it. Don't doubt yourself. Trust yourself. God is moving in your life. And he loves you. And he cares all about everything that you're going through. And he knows right where you're at all times. And let me tell you, he's not ashamed. He's not disappointed. He loves you. And he knows the man that you are. And he knows the wife that you are. And things are looking up. There's a new day. You know, sometimes I'm afraid to say the rainbow thing now because, you know, you never know what's going to happen. So I usually don't say it, but after a storm, God gave us a rainbow to promise. There's a rainbow coming. There might be some storms, and that might be raining cats and dogs, as my mama used to say. But there's a rainbow coming. It's coming. Trust God. Do what you're doing. And allow him to step in. And release it to him. Amen? God loves you. Do you know that? And he's proud of you. From where you were. I don't know nothing about you. I ain't even talked to nobody. From where you were to where you are now, God said he is proud of the man that you're becoming. You walk back in to the authority that he has placed in your life. So now the blessings will begin to come. Because blessings can't come when you're out of the authority of God. young lady, you're his helpmate. You're his helpmate. Support him. Pray. Encourage. Y'all walk side by side. Don't work this way. You're not soldiers. You don't line up. You're on the front lines together against an enemy that is real, that wants to take you out. He wants to take you out. He wants to destroy your marriage. But guess what? You have the authority to say, not today. Get out of my garden. I'm the master of this garden. I planted that. I sought after her. I weeded so that we're where we're at now. Beautiful. I see beautiful right here. Beautiful. Things are growing. Things are sprouting up. God is making something that everyone else said is a disaster. God said, beauty is in the hands of the Maker. And because that you have placed yourself in His hands, things are growing. In Jesus' name. I'm sorry. Pastor, I'm so sorry. James, you're a funny guy. And sometimes you're in a level that is unreachable. And then sometimes you're in a level that you feel unworthy. Business-wise, baby, you're in this level. But sometimes spiritually-wise, you think you're down here. God said He's got you in the level that He has you walking in because you're a good people reader. You can walk into a crowd and you know who you can sell to and who you can't. God said He's making you a man that can see spiritually who isn't. Blinders are fixing to come off so that you can see spiritually the traps of the enemy. Not only for him, but for you, Bethany. Because you know what? Whether you believe it or not, you're the one that's got him. It's the prayers. It's when he's in another country, it's you crying out to Christ. You got to trust her. She's got to trust you. But there's a spiritual realm that you're fixing to be walking in. And you will see things. And you will question things. And the Father says, ask me, I'll tell you. James, you are so anointed. There's not the potential that you have under the anointing of the Holy Spirit is irreplaceable. Walk in the anointing. You think you're blessed now? Wait till this rim hits you. And it's not about the wealth with you guys. I know that. I know you. I know your heart. We've had dealings. So I know your heartbeat. There's a different realm that you guys are fixing to walk in. You're fixing to walk in. You're fixing to walk in. And you're walking together. And I'm coming closer because I want you to look in my eyes to let you know there's a different realm coming. There's not going to be the same James that used to be. The doubt that you have in yourself about certain things, there's going to be a level of confidence. The doubt that you used to walk in, there's going to be a level of confidence. This is you. I'm letting James do his thing. Because James, he's very smart. And he has taken our family from this to this. And you're sitting here and you're doubting that you have worth. Yes, you're great as a husband and wife. But God's got words in your mouth to speak to people. You know the times that I have been blessed the most? It's when I pull up Facebook and I'm driving down the road and it says, this ain't James, this is me. And you speak and you write something and it touches me. God said that people are waiting for you to open your mouth. People are dying and saying, Bethany, I'm hurting. Open your mouth. Because God's got words to come out that are going to bless people. And y'all are going to walk in a realm that is so powerful. And you'll be able to see the truth and the calling. I love you, man. I do. I'm so excited because, I mean, you might be thinking in your mind, this dude has lost his mind, but I'm telling you, you are a smart man. And you're an anointed man. There's not none of this, well, I'm better at this than I am this. God said, you have stepped up. You stepped your game up. God said he's fixing to step his game up. And watch the outcome. Because y'all are together. Or forever together. Amen. Hey, can we give God praise? Hey. All right. I promise I'm quitting. I'm quitting. I'm quitting. I'm quitting. I'm going to close my eyes so I don't see nobody else. Look at your mate. I want you to tell them that I respect you. And from this day forward, I'm not going to play the blame game with you. I take all responsibility. Whoops, I was supposed to say husband say that. My bad. Husband say that to your wives. I'm sorry, I got my eyes closed. I told you I'm not paying attention. Husbands, tell your wife that you take all responsibility and all the blame from this day forward. And that you're going to walk in the authority that God called you in. Now, wives, I want you to tell your husbands. And I know this might not fly with some of you, but I submit to your leadership. As long as you, and we do mean as long as you, follow Christ.
I will submit to your leadership. And as a couple, we will tear down the darkness around our family and in our household. We will tear down the enemy where we put our feet in our work jobs. Because I will cover you, and you will cover me. And God will cover us. In Jesus' name, amen.